So we've been taking kind of a couple little breaks here because of graduation Sunday and Mother's Day, but we're going to finish up this series that we've been doing called Zoe Life over the last several weeks. So glad you were here this morning. Glad you're watching online. Grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. That's where we're going to be this morning as we kind of wrap up this whole idea about life. And in normal fashion, as Americans, we always like the good part of things and not the bad part of things. We always like things that are good and positive and things that aren't. And so when you begin to look at polling information, when it comes to life eternal, you find this: 72% of U.S. adults believe in heaven and only 58% believe in hell. Now, right? So I don't know where everybody else is on the scale and what they are thinking about. But isn't that interesting? We want to believe in heaven. We don't want to believe that there is another place, a place where you also live forever apart from the presence of Jesus. But I always think that these things are interesting because it just shows we want to believe that there's something beyond this life, but that's got to be a good thing. I don't know if I can believe in a bad thing. I don't know if I can believe in a place of separation. And we're going to see this whole concept of life in death today. Before we jump into that, I just want to kind of remind us, because this is going to be important when we get to kind of the end and wrapping this up this morning, where we've been in all this. So you remember Nicodemus, we always miss Zoe. When duty and rule keeping replaces a relationship with Jesus, it's going to be key in what we are talking about today. It's going to kind of be a big wrap up of everything. Zoe's missed when creation is worshiped and not the creator. It's missed when trusting God is just absent. We don't think we can trust God, except this whole thing about life and the life that Jesus gives is all about trusting God. So it's all about that for us. It's missed when we want something from Jesus, but not Jesus himself. That was our week where we looked at the crowd, and the crowd just said, give us more bread and more bread and more bread, and just keep giving us stuff. And we challenge ourselves how often we come to Jesus that way, and we're missing this life that he came to give us. And the last one, 2 weeks ago, that it's always missed when the truth of Jesus is not pursued. That I do believe we have a major truth problem in our culture, in our day and age. And when we don't pursue the truth about Jesus, we are going to miss the life that he came to give. So, Zoe and death, life and death, that's where we're going to be today in this whole passage of John chapter 11. Now, I'm going to jump around a little bit because I'd like to see it more of a narrative and more of Jesus as he has these conversations and what happens in these two instances. But if you've ever read like 1 Corinthians 15, and you ever wonder why that for the early church, when they talked about the death of someone who followed Jesus, they talked about it as somebody falling asleep. That's just how they took death. After Jesus rose from the dead, that's how they looked at death. That's how they viewed it. Do you ever wonder, well, where'd they get that from? Did they just make it up? So when Jesus is getting ready to go, he knows Lazarus has died. He waited purposefully because of what needed to happen and take place. This is what he says to his disciples before he even gets to the town of Bethany to have those conversations. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. Jesus even uses that language. Yeah, he's fallen asleep. It's okay, he put his trust in me. Wait till you see what's about to happen, okay? We're going there to wake him up. We're going in there to totally shake everybody on who has the power over life and death. Disciples, you don't want to miss this. It's going to be awesome. We're going to Bethany, and we're going to see what happens. And so when Jesus arrives in Bethany, he's going to encounter both sisters, Martha and then Mary. And if you remember other places in scriptures, these two ladies appear. The one where Jesus goes to their house and Martha's in the kitchen and she's going crazy and she's making sure everything is cut perfectly and it looks great and everything is perfect. And she's running around like a crazy person trying to get everything right because after all, Jesus is coming over. The meal ought to be perfect, okay? The house ought to be perfect. Everything ought to be perfect. And then there's Mary. And Mary's in the living room sitting on the floor listening to Jesus. And Martha's, you know, sweating. She's done. She's had it. And she comes to Jesus, just make her come in here, okay? I got to have some help. This is going to be perfect. And remember what Jesus said, Martha, you're missing it, okay? Mary got the whole point. The point wasn't to get the perfect. The point was to be in the room with the person who is perfect, the person who you can trust in everything. So we find these two ladies appearing before, and I want you to see that because of their approach, Jesus approaches them differently in their loss. And I think this is a great reminder for us today that Jesus deals with us in our loss and helps us through that, but it's going to be differently. And I want you to see this, okay? So first of all, here's Jesus and Martha, okay? Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, okay? First of all, Jesus, above everything else, this is your fault, okay? Because if you'd just been here, this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't have taken place. And I'd be in a much better mood, Jesus, because my brother would be alive. This is one of the classic things that happens to all of us. When tragedy strikes, we think Jesus wasn't there. Because he had been there, the outcome would have been far different. And here's Martha asking the same thing. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And then she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will grant you. Whatever you ask. So here's Jesus. Okay, I know what you want. Okay? Your brother will come back to life again. And that word, and that's why I have it in parentheses, is the word resurrected. He actually tells her this. Your brother is going to be resurrected. Wait till you see what's going to happen, Martha. Okay? I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions. Your brother will come back to life. He will be resurrected. Okay? So now here's Martha's objection. Yeah, I know that. I know that he will come back to life again in the resurrection at the last day. So Martha had some concept of eternal life, of eternity with Elohim, with their God. Okay, they had some concept that the end of time, he would be resurrected and they would be back together again. Just like, yeah, I know. And I have no idea when that's going to be, Jesus, but I understand that part. Okay. And look what he says to her. I love this. He's not going to be resurrected later. I am resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even if he dies. This is powerful. She's looking for resurrection somewhere else. And here's Jesus. I'm resurrection. Stop looking for it elsewhere. Stop thinking, oh yeah, that happens at the end. No, I'm resurrection and I'm life. And the one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And the one who lives and believes in me will never die. And now here's a big question. Do you believe this? This is Jesus' question to us today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that trust in Jesus goes far beyond the grave? That he is resurrection and life? Do you believe this? Or do you believe something else? I just got to be good enough. It's going to be good enough. There's a lot of people out there who think they're good enough, who are just convinced they're never good enough, and they don't know if they've got enough time to do enough good things to outweigh the bad things to hopefully fix all this thing in the end. So where are you? Do you believe this? That Jesus is resurrection life? There is no hope apart from him when it comes to the point when life ends? This is a huge question. And especially on this weekend, okay, when many of you will visit graves and you'll remember people in your life whom you loved, family members, and you will decorate their graves, you'll place flowers there. Even at this weekend, when we consider death because of the circumstances around us, what do you believe about it? What do you believe about it? Do you believe if you trust in Jesus, there is life, life beyond this life, life that is far better. And then as Jesus is telling Martha, you got to get this, okay? Because one who believes in me, they fall asleep, they wake up in glory. It is far beyond this life. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who comes into the world. This is her confession, yet you're the Messiah. I'm going to go with whatever you say. And especially after the resurrection, okay? And that's Jesus' resurrection. She went with whatever he said, okay? She was all in at that point, okay? And this word starts. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? The one who came, the one who died for our sins and rose again for our salvation. Do you believe that? Maybe we'll start there. Because that's a great place to start. That's where you start to build a relationship with him, where you understand that there is life far beyond this one. So now there's Jesus and Mary. Now, this is going to be far different. Because Martha, man, Martha's got questions. Martha's got objections. You should have been here. What are you doing? Do you remember that dinner I made you? Jesus, really? Do you remember that? Do you remember all those hours I slaved to get that chicken right or whatever it was, okay? Do you remember all that? Do you remember any of that? And she just had questions, and you better give me answers. And I'm telling you, if that's the way you grieve, Jesus is not put off by that. He is not offended by that. He is not ashamed by that. Sometimes the worst things we do is we don't know how to grieve. And over the past year, I don't know how some people made it. Some people didn't know what to do, how to grieve, how to have a service. There are people who still haven't gathered to celebrate the life of a loved one. What a horrible thing we did to people. Because we just took their grief and said, hey, there's a pandemic, pause. Good luck with that. That's what we did to people. Grief is important. Dealing with loss is really important. And I'm telling you, if you're the type of person that gets a little frustrated at God for what happened, who has lots of questions, Jesus is not ashamed by that. Ask your questions. Ask them. Deal with the loss that you've experienced. Because if you don't, I don't care how deep you dig, you'll never bury it. You will never bury it. It will pop up at different times. It'll show up in different places. And you'll be like, what happened? What happened to me? How did I get this way? What the world is going on? And most of the times for people, it is this unresolved, undealt with grief that they thought, I'll just bury it deep enough and it'll be okay. It's not. So you might be like Mary. You might be like Martha, who has questions, or you might be like Mary. Now watch what happens. I think this is interesting. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the people had come with her weeping, and you should know the first thing Mary says is that if you'd been here, same thing, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, okay? He was intensely moved, okay? She didn't have questions, okay? She had one statement to make, and then she was with the people who were weeping and mourning together. And he was intense, this is Jesus. He was intensely moved in spirit. And he was greatly distressed. We get the shortest verse in all scripture right here. Maybe one of the most powerful ones. Okay? Now, this is the one that all the kids want to memorize because it's easy. Okay? I get it. Right? They're excited. Hey, Ed, can't we memorize John 11, 11:35? No. No, you already know that one, okay? But this is important. Its shortness, it does not determine its importance. Okay? Because when you stop and consider this, Jesus knows what he's going to do. He has already told Martha what he's about to do. Okay? And yet when he gets there with Mary and he sees her weeping and he sees her mourning, do you know what he does with her? He weeps with her. Because this is who our Savior is. And if you're the type of person, you don't need answers from God. You need God to sit with you and weep with you. This is the God we have. He does this. He sits with us and he weeps with us and he mourns with us in our loss. And yet, he already knows what he's about to do here. So why would he weep with her? Because he loved her. He loves you. He wants to weep with us if that's what we have to do in the midst of our mourning and our grief. So he sits with us and will weep with us and mourn with us, knowing what he already has in store to do, already knowing what he's about to do here. It's really a powerful, powerful scene you can't miss. That what you need Jesus to help you to do. In the midst of your loss, in the midst of your mourning, he is willing to come and do because he loves you and he died in your place and rose again for your salvation. And so there's no doubt he will do what it takes to help you deal with your loss. So ask him to help you. In the same way we invite Jesus into our lives, in the same way we invite Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, in the same way we invite Jesus into this place when we gather, in the same way we invite Jesus into our homes, when was the last time you invited Jesus into your mourning, into your sorrow, into your laments, into your weeping? When's the last time you did that? Because he's not going to force himself in. He's not going to be like, oh, I'm coming in to save the day here and shove his way into your life. So invite him. Invite him into your loss. Invite him into your season of mourning. Invite him into your season of lament. And let him either sit with you and help you through it however you need to. Whether that's to mourn your way through it or to process through it, let him do that with you. Or you'll never move forward. You'll seem to always be stuck. I have seen people stuck for years. Years. Oh, I can bury it. I can move on. Move on's a terrible concept. It's not in Scripture. Move forward is in Scripture. We move forward with Jesus through our loss and through the times where we weep together because of that loss. Jesus has a conversation with Martha, but he weeps with Mary, and he meets them where they are in their loss. And I love this last statement. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Just a reminder, wait a minute, didn't I already tell you this? Okay? If you believe, you would see the glory of God. And then he makes this incredible statement, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out to a shocked crowd, okay? And to who a few weeks later, Jesus would walk out and shock the world and send forth the message of hope that is Christianity. So, we're gonna do like we've done in other parts of this series. We're gonna ask some questions. And hopefully, again, the point is by asking these questions, we'll get around to our objections, okay? The objections that are already going on, because we do this. We have objections. We might read a verse and go, well, that's a great verse, Jesus, but I don't think you meant it for me, okay? I don't think it applies to me. It applies to everybody else in the world, but I'm excluded. So we do this. We get defensive so often that questions have a way to get around our defense and challenge what we believe and how we are thinking. So here we go. How do you know if you have eternal life? How do you know if you have eternal life? It's a great question. It's a great question to consider. If we went back to the beginning, what we talked about, what did Nicodemus rely on? His rule keeping and his duty. Jesus, I'm good. I've kept all the rules, even the ones we added in later, okay? And I've done all my duty. I've done all this stuff. Okay, I show up, I give, I engage, I connect, I do all these things, and we give our list to Jesus. And what you know what happens quite often to people who give lists to Jesus? Jesus looks at them and say, who are you? I don't know you. You might have been doing all this stuff. You might have had a lot of activity. I don't know who you are. It's so easy to get off track into rule keeping. It's very easy to get off track and start worshiping other things. There are people who worship the Bible. They don't worship God. They just worship the Bible. Okay? The Bible's my Savior. The Bible died for my sins. No, the Bible's a story of the God who did that. And we get off. We start worshiping other things. We stop trusting God and just start trusting ourselves that I got to be good enough. And I'm going to do all these good things. And I'm going to show God. And I'm going to redeem myself. And that's what he looks at you and says, who are you? I don't know you. How do you know if you have eternal life? And if it's 30 years ago, I prayed a prayer, I would question, have you grown any in that? Do you know Jesus better today? That's how we have eternal life. Because we know Jesus, we trust in Jesus. and we follow Jesus. How do you know if you have eternal life? And maybe we'd ask, do you have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? The second one. Do you need Jesus to weep with you or to speak with you to help you with your loss? That'd be my question for you today. Maybe first we would ask, what loss have you buried? I buried it deep. Don't have to deal with it anymore. I do other things. What did you bury? How'd you bury that loss? I know you think it might help. It's not. It's not helping. It's not helping you. It's not helping your relationships. It's not helping your marriage. It's not helping anything that you've buried your loss. So, unbury it and invite Jesus into that and let him speak with you, weep with you, whatever you need to help you deal with the loss you've experienced. Some of you have gone to graves this weekend and been like, I don't understand. And you're still, if you would be honest, you are still angry with God because of someone who died maybe several years ago because you didn't know how to deal with it. You didn't know how to invite Jesus into it because you were so busy blaming him and pushing him away that you didn't know what to do. So you buried it. And then it comes up every now and then, and it's a mess all over again. And you're like, what's wrong with me? Stop burying your pain and your loss. And invite Jesus into that to heal you, to set you free, so you can move forward. But what do you need Jesus to do for you today? To speak with you in your loss, to help you, to weep with you. Ask him and invite him in. Everyone lives forever somewhere. Where will it be for you? We have lots of misconceptions when it comes to hell. Lots of misconceptions when it comes to hell, okay? And by the way, they're all over Facebook, okay? I'm just going to warn you, probably 9 times out of 10, well, I read this on Facebook. Yeah, it's probably not right, especially when it comes to hell because we don't understand it, okay? We don't understand it because we start with wrong premises. We start with God actively sending people there. Let me be very clear. Hell was created for Satan and the angels who fell, who walked away, who rebelled. It then became, after the fall of man, the option if you don't want to be with Jesus. See, Jesus gives us free will and he offers us a choice. He doesn't make anybody do anything. So it's your choice. And if you want to reject him and find your own way and find your own path, and I'm going to do this myself, then he will let you be eternally separated from him. That's what hell is about. So God isn't forcing anybody to do anything and making them live forever in a place they don't want to live with a God they don't care about. Doesn't force himself on anyone. Instead, he invites us to know him and to live forever with him in a place he has created for us. John 14, Jesus, I think, tried to give us a little bit of a hint when he looked at his followers and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It is the word he uses there is Not a simple, I prepared a meal. It is in their culture, I prepared something to last. Do you understand? He has been preparing. He has been working. He has been doing all of this for us. But everyone lives forever somewhere. Everyone lives forever somewhere. There are two choices. Where will it be for you? In the presence of Jesus or apart from the presence of Jesus? Of Jesus. So, to kind of wrap it up, where we've been this morning, that Zoe's always missed when we forget it is all because of Jesus, we have this life, this Zoe life, and the life to come. There is no other way. If I can make that as plain as possible, There's no other way. There's no other direction. There's no other path. There's no back doors. There's no secret hidden entrances. It is, I trust in Jesus. I follow Jesus. I put my hope in Jesus, the one who rose from the grave, the one who we just sang, what? Death was arrested. Who's the only one who can deal with death, hell, and the grave? Everyone lives forever somewhere. What about you? What about you? Where will that be? That's what I want you to consider this morning. If you haven't thought about it, if you haven't thought about why, how do I know I have eternal life? How do I know I'm going to heaven? How do I know any of this? And if you don't know, the worst thing you do is just go on and pretend you'll figure it out at some point. Ask someone. I would love to have a conversation with you. There are others you know who would love to have conversations with you to help you so you have no doubts. And you don't have a boatload of uncertainty because you don't know what is going to happen. The hardest thing, and this has only happened a few times, the hardest thing is to do a funeral. Pastors get to do these for someone and you don't know. That's just the worst. I'm just going to tell you that's the worst. You don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know. So there's two things you try to guard against, right? Well, I can't preach them into heaven, right? Can't do that. I don't have that choice. Or secondly, well, then I'm just going to send them to hell. I can't even do either one. So frustrating. Part of the reason why I love to know your stories and your testimonies of when you came to know Jesus. Because when your life ends, I would like to have no doubts. I'd like to be able to stand up there and claim they knew Jesus. And life continues for them in his presence. There's nothing better than being able to do that. So are you sure? Because everyone lives forever somewhere. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to help us to deal with our uncertainty, to deal with our loss, and to allow him to work powerfully in our lives. So let's pray, and then we're going to worship the Lord one more time. Father, there's two specific things I want to pray over those watching, those in the room. First, if there is pain in their life, they buried. That today is the day they begin to let you in and invite you in to help them with their loss. It's a hard, broken, messed up world, and we get messed up in loss. We get messed up. And it derails us and it gets us off track. And sometimes it takes years to get back on. And Jesus, we're grateful that you know this, that you stood at a grave with two individuals, one who just needed to vent a little and ask some questions and get some reassurance, and one who just needed you to sit there and weep with her. And you did both, because you're that kind of Savior, that you would do both. That we would not be embarrassed about the way we have dealt with our loss, but we would invite you in, and you will do what needs to be done. And then, Father, would you help us ask the question, how do we know we have eternal life? How do we know where we'll be? I'm afraid, Father, there's too many shallow answers out there of people who prayed prayers years ago and then just did their own thing. They're not trusting you, not following you. And we would wonder if you know them. Jesus, maybe we just ask that question. What will you say about us? Because it's either you know us or you don't. We don't want to end up hearing, I didn't know you. So would you help us wrestle with that today? And if we are uncertain, would you give us the boldness and the courage to ask someone to pray with us and counsel with us and to help us? Father, as we sing one more time this morning, as we sing these words, it is well with my soul. I pray, Father, we'd leave here this morning. It is well. We're going to deal with our loss. We're going to make sure we are certain about eternity. And we're going to declare, it is well with my soul. Continue your great work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.